On today's Plain English, the legacy of Daniel Kahneman, the grandfather of behavioral economics. Hi there, everyone. I'm Jeff, and this is Plain English, where we help you upgrade your English with current events and trending topics. If this is your first time listening, and every day is someone's first time listening, well, if that's you today, then you're in for a treat. This one and the episode on Monday are great examples of what we do here at Plain English. We tell stories about the world, and by listening, you'll hear things that you might otherwise not have heard in English. You might have heard about them in your first language, but not in your second. So this gets you thinking about new ideas in English, and you'll definitely pick up some new words and new skills along the way. Today is all about Daniel Kahneman, a psychologist, one of the most influential thinkers in the field called behavioral economics. And if you don't know what that is, or if you're not interested in psychology or economics, don't worry. Daniel Kahneman's life's work was about how humans act, and that's something we can all be interested in. In the second half of the lesson today, I'll show you when exactly to use the phrasal verb pass away and when to simply say someone has died. That's the second half of today's lesson. Remember, the full lesson is available online at plainenglish.com/677. That includes transcripts, quizzes, activities, exercises, and the chance to practice what you learn with me. plainenglish.com/677. Let's dive in. If you studied economics, you're probably familiar with a fantasy type of person. That person is half jokingly called Homo economicus. It's a play on words. Homo sapiens is the name of our real life species, so Homo economicus is a pretend kind of human like animal. Homo economicus is always rational. Anytime he makes a decision, he gathers the required information, thinks through all possible outcomes, carefully weighs the pros and cons, and then he chooses the option that maximizes his self-interest. Much of the classical study of economics rests on this model of human behavior. When we make decisions about what to buy, where to work, or how to invest, we humans act consistently and rationally, just like Homo economicus would. This is, of course, a fantasy. As my economics teachers told me, this is not a realistic model of the world, but it is a useful one. Economists have always known that people aren't exactly like that. Sure, humans make bad or foolish decisions now and then, but Homo economicus is a useful way of looking at the economy and the world since it was thought to be close enough. But about 50 years ago, a group of academics started to look more closely at Homo economicus, and they started to ask whether this really was a close enough description of how humans acted. What if humans were hardwired not to always act in our own best interests? What if our mistakes, our foibles, were the rule and not the exception? That field eventually became known as behavioral economics or behavioral science. And one of the leaders of that field was named Daniel Kahneman. He passed away in March at the age of 90. You may know Kahneman as the author of a very popular book called Thinking Fast and Slow. He won the Nobel Prize in Economics in 2002 and is considered the grandfather of behavioral economics. He has an interesting personal story. Kahneman was born in 1934 in Tel Aviv, which was then part of British-controlled Palestine. He spent his early years in Paris and was just 6 years old when the Nazis occupied France. He tells the story of being out past curfew as a young boy. He was required to wear a Star of David on his clothing to identify himself as a Jew, but he had turned the sweater inside out. An SS officer saw him out late and called him over. The officer picked him up and gave him a hug. He showed Daniel a picture of his own young child back home and said he missed his son. That's why he wanted to give Daniel a hug. Kahneman said in an interview much later that he learned from this experience that humans are very, very complicated things. Kahneman returned to Tel Aviv with his family after World War II and later attended Hebrew University of Jerusalem. Though he's most associated with economics, and though he won the Nobel Prize in Economic Sciences, Kahneman never formally took an economics class. He studied psychology and mathematics as an undergraduate. From a young age, he was interested in psychology. As a child, he didn't much care whether God existed. Instead, he was interested in why humans believed in God. As an Israeli citizen, Kahneman was required to perform several years of military service. He did that after his undergraduate years. Then he went to the University of California, Berkeley, to study for a PhD in psychology. He returned to Israel for what he thought would be a career as a professor of psychology. But then one of the great intellectual partnerships in modern history formed. He met Amos Tversky, a psychologist at Hebrew University. They collaborated for many years on what would become known as behavioral economics. Kahneman and Tversky worked intensely together for 10 years. They examined assumptions about human behavior and then tested those assumptions against their own lives and experiences. Often, they'd find an economic model that said people do one thing, but they examined themselves, their own lives, their own decision-making, and they discovered that they themselves didn't behave the way the models suggested. So they designed thought experiments to challenge deeply held assumptions about human behavior. This is important. Remember Homo economicus? Economists relied on that unrealistic portrayal of humans because they didn't have a clearer understanding of how and why humans acted the way they did. Kahneman and Tversky weren't the first to point out that Homo economicus was unrealistic, but they were the first to design experiments to show just how unrealistic Homo economicus was, and in what ways. Kahneman moved around, working in Israel and Canada before settling at Princeton University a few hours outside of New York City. He spent decades living in an apartment in Greenwich Village in New York. Kahneman collaborated with leading thinkers in psychology and economics for his whole academic life. He worked with co-authors throughout his career, Amos Tversky, Richard Thaler, Cass Sunstein, Olivier Sibony, and others. He published several books, but rose to prominence with Thinking Fast and Slow, which details the brain's two-mode way of making decisions. Later in his career, he focused on the ways human judgment is flawed, even though we think it's really good. His work helped revolutionize, but also complicate, the study of economics. He was considered one of the most influential thinkers in the world, not just in the world of economics. He passed away at the end of March, just weeks after his 90th birthday. For his whole career, Kahneman examined how humans behave and make decisions. What he found is not flattering to humans. But this is more than just a curiosity. If we know how our brains are wired to behave, then we can purposely design our lives in a way that makes us happier and better off in the long run. Next week, we'll take a look at some of Daniel Kahneman's biggest findings, and we'll talk about how we can use those findings to be happier ourselves. The expression we're going to talk about today is pass away, and it has a very simple definition. To pass away is to die. Talking about these things can be delicate, so today I'm going to tell you when it's appropriate to say someone has passed away, because there are times to use it and times not to use it. First, pass away is a gentle, polite, delicate way of saying a person has died. Talking about death can be uncomfortable. It can be uncomfortable to talk about it and uncomfortable to hear about it. So if you want to soften the impact of your words, if you want to be extra sensitive to the other person and to that person's feelings, you can say pass away instead of die. You might say to a friend, "I was so sorry to hear your aunt passed away." This is a way of softening the impact, of being sensitive to the other person who is grieving. The words pass away evoke an image of someone peacefully, gently transitioning, depending on your beliefs, gently transitioning to the afterlife, or just gently transitioning out of the world of the living. And phrasing it that way just makes it easier on the speaker and the listener to imagine a relative or another person making a gentle, peaceful transition. There are times when you might want to use pass away to soften the impact, even when you're not talking directly to someone who's grieving. For example, if someone is not at work or someone is not at school, you might ask, "Where's Miriam today?" And a coworker might answer, "Her mom passed away over the weekend. She'll be out this week." You could absolutely say, "Her mom died over the weekend," but to be sensitive to soften the impact, since it's a relative of someone you know, pass away is just a little more sensitive than died. Plus, it's a workplace. You just try to be sensitive to how other people will react to the news. In those cases, pass away is better. But the more time that has passed, or the more distance between you and the person who has died, the less necessary it is to use the term pass away. For example, Ludwig von Beethoven died in 1827. Queen Elizabeth II died in September 2022. These are famous people. These are well-known dates. It happened a while ago. These are historical facts. There is no real reason for me to soften the impact of my words when talking about Beethoven or Queen Elizabeth. Now, sometimes your choice of die or pass away can communicate what you feel about someone's death. If it's just a fact to you, then use die. If there's a little more feeling involved, use pass away. For example, I didn't know Daniel Kahneman, and I'm guessing you didn't either. But he's a famous author, an author I have read. I like and value his work. I could easily have said that he died in March 2024. That would have been totally fine and appropriate. There would have been nothing wrong with that. But when I talked about it in the lesson about him, I said he passed away. And the fact that I chose pass away communicated that I felt a little sadness about his passing, especially since it happened recently. So you can see that pass away carries emotion and empathy with it, whereas die is more direct, more factual. So anyone who describes a death in any type of professional capacity, a doctor, a police officer, a lawyer, they're rarely going to use pass away. When reviewing case studies, doctors will frequently say the patient died. Police investigators will say, we think the victim died between noon and 2 p.m. Likewise, even if you are closely connected to a person, you should use die if you're talking to a professional. Here's an example. You might want to explain your family medical history to your doctor. This is a professional setting at the doctor's office, and it's a time to use clear, more direct language. You might say, my grandfather died of a heart attack, or my aunt died of a stroke, or my mom died of cancer. And then finally, you should always use pass away with a person. You would 100% never use pass away with a plant, a tree, or an animal. The only exception might be a cherished pet. But if you use pass away, you're talking about that pet like a family member. Well, that's all for us today at Plain English. I hope this was useful, even if it wasn't cheerful at the end. And remember, if you have any questions about when you can use pass away, you can write your own sentences right below the transcript, and I will read them and provide you with feedback on your writing. I always say, make your mistakes with us, and then you'll be ready to speak confidently and correctly in the real world. So write a few examples using pass away with us, and if you get it wrong, don't worry. I'll show you what to do. Then you won't make a mistake with die or pass away when it really counts in the real world. So that's in the section called Your Turn of each expression transcript. PlainEnglish.com/677 is where you'll find the transcript for today's story and expression. We'll be back on Monday with a new lesson. See you then. You've reached the end of the audio lesson, but there's a lot more to the Plain English experience on the website plainenglish.com. A lot of plainenglish.com is free, but the best tools to help you upgrade your English are part of the Starter and Plus memberships. And if you've ever been curious about what those look like, well, I have good news for you. We've unlocked some free sample lessons that let you try out the Starter and Plus features for yourself. There are two easy ways to find the free samples. First, at plainenglish.com, there's a new link at the top of the page that says Free Samples. I've also put a link in the show notes for this episode. In the sample lessons, you can do the exercises, listen to the fast audio, take one of our toolkit workshops, practice your writing, and more. So try it out today. Click the link in the show notes of this episode or find the link that says Free Samples at the top of plainenglish.com.